helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. When the Constitution was created, it was expected that members of the House of Representatives would represent the people. To that end, the term of a representative was set at just 2 years to allow ordinary citizens, should they be chosen by their neighbors, the ability to serve, then return to real life. Such service was considered a duty, and men were honor-bound not only to serve when asked, but not to make a career of it. As with so many things in life, this has changed. The siren song of power and influence has not only attracted some of, let's say, less savory members out of our society, but it's corrupted good men and women who tried to make a difference. Washington, D.C. is effectively another world where the rules of honor, decorum, and servitude seem to be crushed by money, power, and influence. As Americans, we are told we have two choices: join the madness or get run over by it. But is there another way? Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And I'm really looking at this idea of what happened to our citizen legislatures. And is there something we can do to restore sanity to the Republic? Now, I want to start with a couple of stories I found that really just show the partisanship on both sides, right? This is not a Democrat thing or a Republican thing. This is a Washington thing, and it's done by both sides. So recently, there was House Concurrent Resolution 9, titled a resolution denouncing the horrors of socialism. This was a push by Republicans in the House to kind of, get their members in the House on the record for their position on socialism. So the new Democratic Coalition Caucus issued a news release on February 1st saying it strongly rejects socialism, period. So I went and I looked at the new Democratic Coalition at their caucus, and I looked at their members, and I have to admit that their members don't appear to have the rabid socialists that we've all become familiar with, the Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, okay. Then again, I have to admit, I don't know most of these people. I don't have a lot of history with them in their history, in their records. But there's some names that did step out, that did kind of jump out at me. Adam Schiff. Who else did we have in here? We had David Scott. Debbie Wasserman Schultz and many more that makes me wonder if that's the caucus's position. It certainly doesn't appear to be the position of all in the caucus. But I also found it interesting that it's the new Democratic Coalition Caucus that made this statement, not the Democratic Party Caucus, which does have people who either directly or just by what they do appear to be not only socialists themselves, but pushing very hard to be socialists, to make America a socialist country. Now, it was reported to the Epoch Times that during a debate during a hearing in the Rules Committee, there was a civil and intense discussion about the merits of capitalism versus the destructive influence of and evils of socialism, like a publicly owned means of production. But it's interesting because a lot of people are saying, why are the Republicans setting up these political games? Why don't we work towards fixing, the economy for all Americans? And to a certain extent, I understand the argument. But socialism has been so promoted in the halls of Washington, on the floor of the House, the socialist ideas that govern so much of our lives. Shouldn't we bring that out? Shouldn't we get the people who represent us on the record as to whether or not they're willing to promote socialism or they're going to acknowledge the evils that socialism has given the people of the world in recent decades? Are we going to acknowledge that? So Yes, it's a political stunt. Absolutely no. I don't see any question behind that. But it's a political stunt with a purpose. And that purpose is to get people on the record as to whether or not they support socialism or whether or not they support capitalism. A free society. And why is that important? Well, see, most Americans pay most attention to campaign rhetoric, right? What's the campaign say? So, sure, anybody who I'd say would reject or vote against House Concurrent Resolution 9 will probably have ads run against them in the next election, in 2024, saying, oh, they didn't strongly reject socialism. They want us to be socialists. And, all right, so I guess part of what I want to bring forward is, yes, this is partisan gamesmanship. We should not sugarcoat it. That's what it is. It's the Republicans trying to get their opponents on record with something they can use in an upcoming election. Of course, then again, if I actually cared about who represents me, I kind of want to know the answer, but I don't think it would be based on a vote on a concurrent resolution. How about we just look at what they do? Look at what they support. Look at what they denigrate. And then you should be able to answer for yourself, is this person representing me or are they representing some other special interest group? And if they're not representing me, why would I vote for them? And then there was another example. Florida Rep. Matt Gaetz requested to recite the Pledge of Allegiance before the House Judiciary Committee Wednesday, I think it was. Now, during the hearing, the Gaetz, who is part of the leadership, he put forward an amendment to recite the Pledge of Allegiance at the start of each hearing. And one of his opponents, New York Representative Jerry Nadler, objected to it. And his reason wasn't outrageous. He said, I would oppose it simply on the grounds that, as members know, we pledge allegiance every day on the floor, and I don't know why we should pledge allegiance twice in the same day to show how patriotic we are. Okay, I can see the argument. I can see somebody, especially someone like a Matt Gaetz, who is very much about patriotism and the flag, wanting to recite the Pledge of Allegiance at every opportunity. I can also see Nadler's position. Hey, why are we doing this? We've already done it once. Why do we need to do it again? Granted, it doesn't take very long. Is this more political gamesmanship? It is. That's what it appears to be, right? Let's show how patriotic we are because we pledge allegiance every time we meet. And, ooh, isn't that wonderful? You can pledge allegiance all you want. It's what you do that matters. So I have a suggestion for Mr. Gaetz. If you want to have the House Judiciary Committee be more patriotic, rather than simply reciting by rote a pledge we all hopefully learned in elementary school, how about we have the members of the committee, recite Article 3, where we actually create the judiciary itself. Maybe you recite Article 6, Clause 3 of the Constitution, which requires them to take an oath to support the Constitution of the United States before taking office. Let's actually, if you want to do a political show, let's make it a political show that means something more than standing up and simply reciting a pledge that, again, we've all learned in elementary school. At least I hope we still learn it in elementary school. Now, why did I focus on these two articles? Well, again, if my focus today is on the idea of citizen representation, then what do these show me? These show me partisan representation. It reminds me of the words of George Washington, right? The dissension natural to party politics is its own frightful despotism. See, we had many years of the House being controlled by Democrats and them sticking it to the Republicans. Now we have the Republicans in charge and they're sticking it to the Democrats. And we shouldn't be surprised. It's human nature. But it's also a question of if you gain power, say, and you know, of course, one of the extreme examples being like a Nancy Pelosi, someone who is, you know, I think she's been in Congress since Moses, you know, parted the Red Sea. At least it seems that way. But what we see is this desire for power. And how do they maintain power? By maintaining their party in control, which puts party above policy. And we end up with a lot of these little gotcha things. Now, is this really a big deal? No. But I want to ask you a couple questions. Do you really think that a resolution denouncing the horrors of socialism will change the hearts or minds of any member of Congress? Do you think that people are going to change their votes because a representative won't vote for a resolution denouncing socialism? Do you really think that? Do you think the people who support AOC or Maxine Waters or any of these or Nancy Pelosi, do you think they're really going to change their mind because, oh, see, we hate socialism? Yeah, sure, I'm a democratic socialist, but we hate socialism. Do you really think that would change their minds? The answer is no. So again, we want to peel back some of the layers of disguise and say, all right, this is all about partisan politics. And by the way, I would guess a lot of pretty much the same thing for Mr. Getz, right? Let's pledge allegiance to the, let's just show how patriotic we are by these little shows of patriotism, rather than actually doing, oh, I don't know, the job we were hired to do, to support the Constitution and represent our constituents as we do so. You know, it's I can't say that they're bad, but really, is that really the most important thing? Are you going to change your vote on your representative based on whether or not they snap to attention and place their hand over their heart and recite the Pledge of Allegiance every time someone says boo? See, I want to get beyond what people say. I want to get beyond the little shows they put on. And I want to get to the question of the actual character, the actions of these men and women that represent us. My point of view is when someone wants my vote, first of all, I do not endorse candidates. I don't endorse parties. I do support policies, but I'm not an endorser. So when people come to me saying, hey, can I get your endorsement? It isn't going to happen. But if somebody wants my vote, my first question to them is, great, show me where you fulfilled your oath to support the Constitution when it cost you something. And 90% of the times, I'm going to get some, soundbite, right? Some pre-approved soundbite that sounds really great and says absolutely nothing, right? Now, a few percentage of I will get somebody who said, yes, you know, I raised my right hand. I took the oath. I served in the military, or maybe I served in law enforcement. And this is when I did something, you know, I opposed what my commanding officer was doing because it was unconstitutional. I supported something. And even if they don't have that example, if they were willing to serve in the military, I will give them a shot if it's their first time. If they've not served in an elected office before and they simply said, hey, I raised my right hand and served, I will give them a chance. But most of the time, I'm getting platitudes. Now, on very rare occasion, will I get somebody that will say, no, I stood up against this. And occasionally, even when it cost them something, the sheriff that said, no, I said in the committee hearings that I would not support this law. I would not enforce this law because it was unconstitutional. Or the person said, no, I went against my my leadership and it cost me committee hearings. Or I was on the news and I got pilloried for this position, but it was the right thing to do because it was constitutional. Those are very rare, which to me is very sad. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm hoping that the American people will start joining me and look less at the show and more at what they actually do. And I think that will help us choose better representatives. Again, not simply in Congress. I'm talking all the way down to dog catcher. You know, someone comes to me and wants a seat on the school board or a county commission. I'm going to ask them, hey, when did you fulfill your oath when it cost you something? And if you can't show me when you fulfilled your oath when it cost you something, why should I trust you to stand up and defend my rights? Because someday it may cost you something. Now, since we're talking about people running for election, I had an interesting interview when I was at the Reawaken America tour about somebody that helps candidates prepare for the insanity that is running a campaign. But I got to take a break first. So I hope you'll head over to the website, constitutionstudy.com. Hey, ask me a question. I am still looking for questions to answer as a segment of this radio program. And I need more questions. So I encourage you, even if you think it's a dumb question, I'll give you an answer. Hit the checkbox that says answer on the radio. I will answer it. I'm not here to embarrass you or show people up, but I do want to answer your questions, because I think that's kind of the arrangement we've made, right? I'm trying to answer questions for you. It helps if I know what those questions are. Now, also, one of the most important things if you want to live a healthy life is to have a healthy immune system. Healthy Cell is a leading innovator in supplements designed to work at the cellular level. They've got a lot of great products. One of them I use regularly is their Immune Super Boost. It supports your immune system while you're on the go with a simple, travel-ready gel pack with over a dozen immune supplements in one dose. Now, you can get 25% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So do me a favor, go to HealthyCell.com, check out all their products, put your cart together. When you check out, use the code OUTLOUD. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud. These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan. A plan based on real science that responds to the real-world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, ICSC-climate.com.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're talking about this idea of the citizen representative. You know, the person who's just an ordinary, average, everyday citizen. Is it still possible for them to serve without simply being consumed by the beast that is Washington politics, or even state politics? Well, as I mentioned, when I was at the Reawaken America tour, I interviewed several people. One of them was a Dr. Cody Williams, and he has a group, and they actually teach candidates how to prepare for the rigors of running a campaign. So let's listen to that interview.
Okay, we're here at the Reawaken America Tour in Nashville, and with me I have Dr. Look at his name. It's Dr. Cody Williams, with the 1776 Forever Free, which, of course, well, it was pretty close to the Constitution Study. Welcome to the Constitution Study, and tell us a little bit about you and your organization.
Yeah, well, had a video that went viral when the COVID scam started in March of 2020. In May of 2020, we found ourselves at the Sacramento Capitol. They talked down some riot gear police there, sir, and you know, they dubbed me the Megaphone Marine. That video got about 21 million views. And we started to basically go around the country doing rallies. We were part of the Recall Gavin movement to recall the governor. We went to Maricopa County. We did Stop the Steal. We did a lot of the big DC Trump rallies. We helped participate in those. We've been all over the place the last basically 2.5-3 years. About a year ago, I announced for U.S. Senate. And we got third place out of 23, 500,000 votes in a jungle primary. So, you know, our mission's kind of shifted. You know, primarily we've done activism and then teaching constitutional classes through an educator named Doug Gibbs. He does a lot of stuff online. He streams in classes. He does them live at my 5,000 square foot office in Carlsbad. And most recently, what we're stepping into is candidates classes. Because I don't know about you, brother, but we really feel like those first 3 to 6 months of a candidate's life, whether it's a local election or a federal one, are so important. And what we're finding is so many people, like I did, get swindled out of $10, $20, $40, $60,000 paying these useless scumbag swamp consultants.
So tell us what you really feel about them.
Yeah. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about that, brother. You'll find out. If you listen to me at 4:45 tomorrow when I speak, you know, I've got about 120,000 followers, even with massive censorship, but I always try to tell it like it is. And we just feel like the pulse of this country, I'm sure you would agree with me, getting it back from a federal standpoint, it's dead, it's gone. The court system's rigged. The election process is rigged. So state and county and municipal, those areas in our states and those small municipalities, that's basically how I think we're going to save this country. But I think we have to really mobilize and educate the patriots and voters out there to know how to properly invest their time, energy, and money. And so I think that, you know, we need to put more lead on the target and get these candidates well equipped on how to raise money, what to do in the first 60 to 90 days of their campaign. And that's what these classes are going to do. And that's what we're raising money for and creating awareness for this weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I agree that the answers are not coming out of Washington, D.C. The answers are coming out of our counties. And because, one, the people have the most influence over county candidates. Sheriff, if you don't have a sheriff guarding your back, you're open. You're in trouble. But I also agree that they need to have a foundation. Each and every one of these candidates, if they win, are going to take an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, many of them of their state. Do they have a clue what the document actually says and what it actually means?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And so many of them don't, you know, so many of them don't. And I think that so many candidates that would be, for lack of a better term, I'll just say those libertarian, neutral, constitutionally based candidates that aren't sold out and beholden to, you know, the Republican establishment or the Democrat establishment, but they're beholden to God, country, and the Constitution. We never see those candidates in the general election because they can't guide their way through the swamp, right? At the state and local level. And, you know, I think that people don't understand the longer you're in politics, the longer man's greed makes compromises, right? And I would like to think that that doesn't happen with Christian conservatives. But you and I know that all humans are fallible. And I think that setting limits from a federal standpoint, but also from a local standpoint, getting some of those candidates in there, they raise money in the first 90 days. They know to set up and really get connected to the church. I'm calling it a church committee, a finance committee, right? Most of the time, these local mega churches that you'll see in a lot of rural areas, they can swing a district, they can swing a county election, a city council election, but so many people don't have the know-it-all to say, well, how do I connect with those pastors? How do I get my pastors on my side? What's a way to kind of incentivize the pastors to want to help and want to get involved? And I think just nobody has really stuck their neck out to deal directly with the candidate. They'd rather just pour their money into the RNC or the state California GOP. And you know, then they waste it on flowers and fancy dinners, and it never gets back to the candidate.
Yeah, it's easier to write a check than it is to actually deal with an individual.
Yeah.
You know, when here at Constitution, we don't endorse candidates, we don't endorse parties, but I do recommend that everybody ask any candidate that wants their vote a very simple, but I believe powerful question. Show me where you fulfilled your oath to support the Constitution when it cost you something.
Yeah.
And the sad part is 90% of the time, I'm going to get some party plan platform regurgitated back to me that has nothing to do with the question I actually asked.
Yeah.
And you know, that is the effort of getting to know the candidate, because that candidate's your employee. If they win, you are hiring them. If you're going to vote for them, you're saying, I want this person to work for us, to represent us, to exercise our power in our name. We should be doing a lot better job of vetting the candidates, not just looking at donkeys and elephants.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I love what you said, because patriotism is not about what you get. It's about what you always give up, right? And I think so many times in this day and age, we have these exploiters, these grifters, these people that, you know, to be candid, they want to sell T-shirts, have a podcast, but they've never put their testicles on the chopping block, either to run for office, do activism, or have a viable solution to save our kids in the future. And that's really where we're going, brother. I mean, we're doing a lot of work to create awareness, but at the end of the awareness and the education, there's got to be an action step where everybody's enrolled in a new possibility to change America. Otherwise, the other side, they're busy not only talking and educating, really brainwashing, but they're actively out there physically making change happen. And all of it's following, granted, the 45 points of communism, right? That Cleon Skousen talked about. But we've been sitting on our butts too long talking, and now it's time to get to work.
Yeah. Well, I make the point that in the Revolutionary War, about a third of the colonists wanted liberty. They wanted to be independent. A third wanted to remain British citizens, and a third really didn't care. As long as they think that they didn't care. But ultimately, it was 3% that actually fought.
Yeah.
But those 3% were supported by the 30% that said, okay, I'm not ready to fight, but I'm willing to stand behind the guy or the woman that is. And too often, we want somebody else to do the fight, but we're not willing to come up and support them in the work that they're doing. And that's something we have to learn to do is, you know, when somebody stands up for the right thing, you got to learn to stand up and stand up with them. When you hire somebody and they do the right thing, you got to be willing to stand up with them. That's the difference. That also helps, at least in my mind, when that office holder steps out and nobody steps with them, that's got to be one of the loneliest feelings in the world. But when they step up and say, no, we're going to support this because it's the right thing, it's constitutional, we're going to oppose this because it's constitutional, and the people stand up with them, that's got to be one of the most secure feelings in the world for a politician.
Yeah. No, I 100% echo what you said. And you know, it's these messages of standing up, leaning in, and looking at solutions. We need a bigger megaphone for those, because, you know, I've even seen the infighting in the movement itself. You know, everybody's worried about their agenda and their organization and kind of their initiative. And if we don't band together and say we're one drumbeat and we're one voice, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to our kids. I mean, I lost four people that I really care about, my mom, my dad, my stepfather, and my uncle in the last 2 years. And my uncle was a Vietnam veteran, spent 30 years, over 30 years in the U.S. Army. And I remember my aunt telling me how just sickened he was by where the country went. And she'd never really seen him cry that many times in his life, but she could tell a couple of nights when he was hearing what was happening around the country that my uncle was just devastated by the country he once knew and what the country has now become. And God help us if our kids and our kids' kids have to leave this world and feel the same way.
You know, you echoed something very important to my mind there. And that is, you know, millions of men and women have fought and bled and sacrificed and died so that we could live free. And I know, you know, after 9/11, we got this, you know, you'd see someone in uniform and you'd go up and you'd shake their hand and you'd thank them for what was in service. And that's great. That's wonderful. But it still puts all the onus on them. And I kept coming back to the movie Saving Private Ryan. At the end, when Captain Miller was dying, and he told Private Ryan, "Earn this. You know, we have been given a tremendous gift. We have inherited from our forefathers the freest, most powerful, and richest country in the world, and we're throwing it away. We're treating it like a baby treats a diaper. We need to look those men in the eye and say, not only do I thank you, but I will pledge my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor to do the work that you started, to earn the trust you put in us as a people, to be willing to make such a sacrifice." He came home. How many didn't? But even coming home, how much did he give up by spending 30 years in the military? And we never think about that.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's the souls that are 6 feet under. And we got to start fighting for them because they took a stand for us. And now it's time for us to be a stand for them.
Yep. 6 feet under, came back missing limbs, came back just different. I had an uncle that was in Vietnam, and he was just different. He sacrificed something we will never truly see. He sacrificed something in his mind from being there. And you know, how many, what's the stereotype of a man who will not talk about war because it harms him so much? Those are sacrifices that were made so that we could be free. And we really should honor that and not simply say, thank you for your service. Here's a cup of coffee and walk on your way.
Totally agreed. Well, sir, I'm honored to have been on today and really, really appreciate you having me.
I'm glad you took the time here. It's great speaking with you. And good luck with your speech. You're speaking tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow at 4:45.
So if you're down here at the event, check it out. Or find the podcast or the recordings I'm sure they're going to have up afterwards. So, again, Gordon, thank you very much. And
God bless you, buddy. Semper Fi.
I mean, just imagine if the people we hired to represent us looked at their calling as much as a duty as the men and women that are willing to go off and fight for this country. You know, I'm reminded of the words of JFK, right? Ask not what your country can do, ask what you can do for your country. But part of that is being prepared, right? Because we call it the swamp for a reason, not simply the fact that Washington, D.C. was built on a swamp. But it is easy to get lost in there. And to have somebody that can help guide you and hopefully allow you to keep your anchor in something real. Not simply be consumed by the party politics that seems to consume so much of our political discourse today. If we're going to change the nation, it's going to take men and women that are willing to sacrifice, that are willing to stand up and serve. And if we want the best people to serve, well, we have to protect them from the worst of service. We have to be willing to protect them from the not just the political machinery that makes so much money off of these campaigns, but from the other influences, the shortcuts, the easy ways to get to the ends that justify whatever means you happen to follow. So I spend a lot of time pointing out the ills of those who represent us. But it truly can be a noble service. It truly can be a service to the nation. And I think the fact that the American people don't treat it that way is part of the reason why it attracts so many people who don't think of it that way. So let's see what we can do. Again, the Mr. Williams has already spoken. I'm sure you can find recordings out there, but consider following up with his group, the 1776 Forever Free, if you're considering or you know someone who's considering a run for any office, and maybe get some advice about how do we keep our representatives free so that they can do their job to help keep us free. Now, I've got a couple more articles I want to talk about, focusing more on what's going on at some of the states and what we can learn from it. Because remember, you know, when we talk about citizen legislatures, we're not simply talking about it at the federal level. It's supposed to be at the state level as well. And that's a very important part of understanding the republic that our framers gave us. Before I do that, I do have to take a break. Now, before I go, I want to remind you, you know, the Constitution study, I hope you enjoy the content I bring here. I do work hard to do it, and I hope you enjoy it. But I'm only one of many voices on America Out Loud Talk Radio. So you can get a lot of different points of view. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.com to find out the latest news and happenings. But then it's important that you participate. This is not supposed to be a broadcast, but it's hopefully is a call to action to get you to take the news that you're finding, the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, and share them. I share them on social media. I hope you'll pick them up and retweet them, reshare them, so that more and more people can get an opposing point of view. We can't make up their mind for them, but we certainly can help expose them to other ideas and maybe open the floodgates of freedom and liberty to people who have never thought differently in their entire life. We're going to talk a bit about that after the break, but before I do, take those links, those articles and everything, share them far and wide, and help us secure the blessings of liberty.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
We are fighting the ultimate fight between good and evil. AmericaOutLoud.com replaces groupthink with innovative think. Well, it was Walt Whitman, the poet, who said, "Keep your face always toward the sunshine, and shadows will fall behind you." America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today we're asking about legislators. And, you know, I've had people ask me why, you know, Paul, why don't you run? And personally, I think I can do more and better work out here than I can in that swamp. But I can understand why people don't want to. Let's face it, you're going to get lied about. And you and your family are going to be run through the mud. Because, you know, we talk a lot about misinformation, and it's amazing because what most people don't seem to tell you is that most of the misinformation Well, it comes out of Washington, D.C., and it comes out of much of our corporate media. That's why I say you need to trust but verify. But here's a perfect example. So Florida has recently revised the course requirements based on feedback from the Florida Board of Education when it comes to the Florida's college boards. So the advanced placement course has been updated to remove readings from, well, different critical race theorists, as well as a section on Black queer studies. Now, needless to say, there's a lot of people that are not real thrilled about this, and many of the media outlets have been, well, let's just say less than forthcoming with their review, their reporting on this. Or, for example, NPR wrote that DeSantis faces criticism for Florida's ban on African-American study AP course. He didn't ban an African-American studies. He banned a Black queer studies and certain readings from racist theorists, the critical race theorists. But that wasn't alone. See, Best Colleges said DeSantis defends banning AP African-American Studies course from Florida's high schools. A New York Times opinion column said Ron DeSantis wants to erase Black history. MSNBC got in and said polls reveal the reason Ron DeSantis is fighting the teaching of Black history. See, it's not that the teaching that he's fighting the teaching of Black history. He's not teaching the Black history they want taught. You know, the one where everything is racist and it's based on the proven false 1619 project and other revisionist history that focuses more on sexuality than history. That's what he, and again, it isn't that Ron DeSantis did it. This was done by the Florida College Board and at the advice of the Florida Board of Education. And of course, you know, this reminds me of the infamous Don't Say Gay bill that didn't have the word gay in it, period. And the media just, you know, lies about things either because they're being fed a boatload of misinformation or they just don't really care. They have an ideological agenda and they've been deluded into believing that what, you know, they're right and everyone else is wrong and everything else is, anybody that disagrees must be evil at heart. Now, apparently, the decision to review the course, to change the course, came because, well, Florida, there was a law signed, that DeSantis signed a law, meaning he didn't come up with himself, the legislators passed it back last April, that barred schools from teaching things like a person by virtue of his race or color, natural origin, or sex is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. I mean, think about that. The Florida schools were teaching that simply because the color of your skin, your sex, or your nationality, you are inherently racist or sexist or oppressive, whether you've actually done something or not. That is a racist, sexist point of view. And the legislature of Florida said, no, we don't want that. Not taught in our public schools. You want to teach that at home, be our guest. But that's not what public schools are supposed to be teaching. See, this comes from the critical race theory ideology that holds that America is fundamentally racist, and it's not what you do, it's literally the color of your skin that determines whether or not you are racist, which is itself inherently racist. So does the news media, do the talking heads look at what at the law, look at what they wanted removed and simply report on it? No, they throw their commentary in as if it is news. And of course, it isn't limited to the news. You've got talking heads like Whoopi Goldberg on The View saying Ron DeSantis is now running a state where he decides what can be taught in schools or not. I'm sorry, Whoopi, this was passed by the state legislature. This wasn't him. This was the legislature. Or Joy Reid, who said that DeSantis was blocking the course in its original form to appease those who look more like, well, Ron DeSantis. Oh, so I'm not surprised Joy Reid is a racist. She's shown herself to be a racist over and over again. But think about it. If you were to read the New York Times, the Washington Post, watch CNN or NBC, you would think that Ron DeSantis had banned the teaching of African-American history in Florida, which is an intentional lie. But that's what you're setting yourself up for if you plan to go into politics. And do you have the backbone, the intestinal fortitude to stand up against that type of assault? Because that's exactly what's going to happen. But imagine you're a parent in Florida and you had the opportunity to run for office, right? School board, maybe even state house or Senate. But you didn't. You were afraid because, well, people are going to call you names. They were going to ruin your job and your life and make your life miserable. Imagine if because of that, that legislation didn't pass. What would have happened if the men and women in the state legislature, forget Ron DeSantis for a minute, if the men and women in the state legislature weren't willing to stand up and says, no, we are not teaching racism in our public schools. You want to teach it privately? That's up to you, but we're not teaching it in the public schools. Would you have had the fortitude, if you had not been willing to put up with that fight, and that law had not been passed, the courses had not changed, and now how many millions of children would be indoctrinated into being perverted little racists because people weren't willing to stand up? Or even worse, what if you had won, but weren't willing to stand when the news media came and called you names? Let's take a look at something going on in Minnesota. Now, we've talked a lot about these illegal, void, immoral, quote-unquote vaccine mandates. Well, the state of Minnesota has a bill they're considering called SF938. And under this law, no state government or entity or its subdivision would have the authority to enforce or attempt to enforce any sort of vaccine passport, pass, credentials in the state, whether by federal act, law, executive order, administrative order, court order, rule, regulation, statute, or ordinance. Ooh, that sounds interesting. So you're telling me that even if a court orders you, you are not allowed to enforce a vaccine passport or pass in the state? Wouldn't that be interesting? But the court ordered, yeah, except the courts are not the supreme law of the land. The Constitution is. The courts, the federal courts, are creations of the Constitution, which was ratified by the states. Now, this comes on the heels of a New Hampshire law that banned the enforcement of a federal vaccine mandate back last year. See, people keep focusing on Washington, but look at what's going on. If you live in Minnesota now, you don't have to worry about a federal vaccine mandate. Well, as long as you continue to hire people with enough backbone to stand up when a big old Uncle Sam decides to try and throw his weight around. So you have to remind them that these people work for the states, not the other way around. The states created the federal government. The states determine what powers the federal government has, not the other way around. And by the way, that includes the federal courts. The states determine the judicial power of the federal courts, not the other way around. I know this is dangerous territory, folks. I'm actually teaching you the truth. I'm teaching you the Constitution. And that scares the pants off a whole bunch of people. So no, maybe you don't have to run for a U.S. House. You could run for a state legislative place, and you can put laws in place that will impact thousands, if not millions, of your fellow citizens and actually make a difference in the world. Maybe like they did in Utah. Utah becomes the first state to ban transgender surgeries and hormones for youth. So basically, underage kids in Utah cannot make life-changing decisions like altering their bodies or getting medically unnecessary surgeries or taking hormones to change their bodies. They can't. Now, I know a lot of people will flip out over this, but guess what? They're called minors for a reason. There's a reason they cannot legally enter into contracts. There's reasons they can't legally get most medical procedures because they're not old enough to consent. But in this upside-down, twisted, perverted world we live in, if it involves sex, there are those that want kids to do whatever they want as long as it promotes their political agenda. But here, the legislators in Utah are doing something to help protect the children in their constituency. Maybe you could do that. Now, I'm not saying it would be easy. I'm not saying you're not even the right person for it. But maybe we can find better people that we can do this type of work, not just in a couple of states. What if this happened in all 50 states? What if all 50 states started turning around and saying, no more vaccine mandates. Sorry, ain't happening. You don't have we never gave you the legal authority to regulate public health. Go pound sand. No, we don't care what you think about critical race theory. We're not teaching it here. Not in our public schools. Private schools want to do it. You want to do it privately, that's something else. But the public-run schools, the ones that belong to everyone, have to focus on what everyone, for the most part, can agree on. Maybe we can protect some of our children while we're at it. Before I go, there's one other thing I want to talk about today. And that's the idea of a national sales tax. And there's a couple things I want you to consider here. So, of course, there's been a lot of arguments about a consumption tax versus an income tax, and is it fair or not? And you know, since you usually tax things you want less of, why would you tax income? Why would you want less income? People can control more when they have a sales tax. Of course, they're talking like a 30% sales tax, which really is going to hit everybody pretty hard when they realize just how much money they're giving to the federal government, right? Because if it's a sales tax, right, if you go to the grocery store and you buy $100 worth of groceries and you get a bill for $130, you begin to get an idea of just how much the federal government costs. So there's certain things there. But I want to remind people something that most of the people I've heard talking about this haven't mentioned. And that is how a national sales tax would work. You see, there's this pesky little thing called Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, which says representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. What does that mean? That means the federal government cannot tax you directly. Right? It has to be apportioned to the states. But Paul, what about the income tax? Well, we had the 16th Amendment that said, okay, for income, the feds can tax directly. But we're not talking about taxing income. We're talking about taxing sales, consumption. Now, the federal government has ignored this for decades, right? They look at excises, taxes on gasoline and different services and that they collect from the people, generally through a third party, but not through the states like they're supposed to. Why is that important? It gives the states power of the purse over the federal government. If the government is looking for, say, $3 trillion in sales taxes, they got to get that from the states, and the states say, wait a second, you're abusing this money. You're not following the Constitution. We're going to withhold part of this money until you get things back in order. We end up with, well, among other things, a constitutional crisis, but one I think we dearly need. We need to recognize the limitations on the federal government, and we need a way to enforce them. So the first thing is no federal sales tax without two conditions. One, we must repeal the 16th Amendment. And two, it must be apportioned to the states. If we do that, a national sales tax might be an interesting way to move forward. Just think of it. Your paycheck is not going to have that federal withholding anymore. Yay, think of all the money that gets saved that way. But you're also going to have a better idea of how much of your money gets sucked up by the federal government. Again, when you go to the gas station, or maybe not the gas station so much because they roll all the taxes up together. But when you go to the grocery store or the hardware store, the department store, and you buy that $100 item and you realize it's $130 because you got to pay the tax on it, maybe then people start saying, maybe all this spending is more than a little bit out of control. Maybe. I don't know. I'd love to hear what you have to say about what you think about that. Do you think a national sales tax is a good idea? Do you think it should be dependent on repealing the 16th Amendment? Do you think it needs to be apportioned to the states? Let me know. Go to the website, AmericaOutloud.com. Comment when this show shows up on the on that page. Comment. Let me know. I'd love to hear what you have to think. Now, I brought that story up because I thought it showed an example of helping to empower the American people with information. You know, having a citizens, your neighbors serving in Congress, rather than some nameless, faceless politician that you never see and you never hear from. I think that would be a good thing to get people more engaged, more involved in what's going on. Maybe a bit more aware of just why the political process has become so corrupted, and then what can we do to change it? And not simply say, you go fix that problem for me. How do we support the people when they go? You find yourself a good candidate, someone, you know, good and wholesome, and then you send them off to your state house or to Washington, and they change over time. How do we help them not? How do we help keep them grounded? And it's all about keeping engaged. It's about this idea that we the people created these governments. We the people have to be responsible for them. And I know I say it a lot, but if you look at most of the problems that we talk about here when it comes to the government, very often it comes down to the fact that we the people have hired these crooks and these thieves. We need to take responsibility for that. So I hope you enjoyed this show. Please let me know. And come back every weekday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can hear the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen then, all my shows go to podcast a day or two after the broadcast. And you can find them on your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Help other people find the Constitution Study. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. But I'm begging you to share them so we can share the blessings of liberty.